Okay, go ahead whenever you're ready.
Yeah, all right. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Four Point Channel Landmark District Commission for Thursday, August 8, 2019. And present are Commissioners Gorganian, Smilic, Karoff, and myself, Beriducci. First item is application number 20.089. It is 25, 26, 30, 35, and 36 Thompson Place. And it's regarding work at the sidewalk, including installing a raised speed table to align flush with the north and south side of Thompson Place, removing an existing ramp and associated sidewalk repairs, and also work at the front facade of 25 and 26 Thompson and 35 and 36 Thompson, including installation of spanned catenary lighting across Thompson Street. Is Thompson Place or Street?
Thompson Place, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so as the applicant here, you can introduce yourself and
just... sorry, I couldn't get right here.
You're good.
No,
just, yeah, just give it to him.
There we go, passing me.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm Nate Turner with Marine Days Prudency Architects in Boston. And here we want to talk about a stretch of Thompson Place, which goes from Seaport Boulevard to Congress Street. Bearing. This is the kind of general area we're talking about within the district. And basically what we're doing is, back up one second, we recognize that this is becoming an increasingly pedestrian-oriented portion of the district, and we're trying to respond to some additional needs we think will help support the retail environment that's there. So there's two things. One is additional lighting in the center of the street to help draw the mind's eye, you know, for the full-on experience as you go from Seaport Boulevard to Congress Street. And the second is kind of acknowledging that there is enough vehicular traffic there that we want to make sure that people adhere to a certain speed limit when traveling through there. So here are some existing photos. We have this newly completed plaza on the Seaport Boulevard end. On the left, on the right, you have a photo of the existing sidewalks. Here is an overall street view standing at the corner of Calvin Place looking back towards Congress Street in the background. This is a photo of the sidewalks on the opposite side of the street. So basically what we're talking about are both of our elements are in the center of Thompson Place. The first is there's some catenary lighting, ever so faintly shown here. There are a couple of strands crossing over the street from one building facade to another. And these are located where the support brackets are actually centered within the brick piers. And we've coordinated the support elements both from an existing brick building perspective as well as equally placing the catenary light strands in the center portion of the street. Secondly, there's a speed table that's introduced here, which we looked at this spot as a general midway point between the two primary streets on either end, but also there it's reinforced by the fact that there's an existing entry at 25 Thompson Place, and it relates to the building across the street. So there's kind of a natural connection here from a wayfinding perspective. So here's some additional detail on the lighting, where these light fixtures replicate what was done in the plaza. So it's kind of a contemporary look where there's a kind of a structural metal element and then a clear glass lens. And it's kind of a continuation of a slightly modern touch, but in an industrial function. And I believe that is pretty much it, other than seeing a cross section of the street here where you get to see the how the speed table elevation would connect to the two side crosswalks and kind of support the pedestrian experience. So that's it, short and sweet. I'm trying to learn from my past presentations.
So the overhead lights, though, obviously, you look at the height of those and a fire apparatus can get through there and a
yes.
Semi and all that stuff.
And approximately how big are they?
Approximately.
I couldn't see them there.
Yeah, I'm want to say they're 18 inches tall.
And these, you said these exist in the Trillium Plaza there, right?
Correct.
And so there's, the building from, you'll have like a cable that's going to span the buildings, and then these, the cords and such of the lights hang on this cable?
That is correct. There is a primary support cable on the top, and then there's a secondary kind of tension cable that moves their sway.
And this is a public way? Or is it a?
It's private.
It's private.
Yeah, they're all private streets. And these, is it the pattern of where these lights are, is it kind of random, or what? I didn't see anything in plan view here that.
It is alternating. It's not random. There's actually, we're showing five strands here, so it goes 3, 2, 3, 2, 3. So they do undulate, so it's not going to be, you know, if you're going driving down, you're not going to see a kind of an airport strip of a linear gesture. They will have an appearance as if they're random. But we do that to control.
Are there others in the district over streets?
Not streets, no.
Over.
So it's just over the Trillium Plaza. And what's the, what are the lumens or the brightness on the lights? Do you know?
Those we're actually working through now because it's of a higher elevation. It's not going to be the exact same application as the plaza. But there are ranges. I think there's three different ranges for the lumen output.
Okay.
Does Channel Center Street have?
Yeah, Channel does.
Yeah,
they do have
it. It does. Yeah.
I think it does.
Between the 10 and 20 lobbies.
Yeah.
On the midway side.
And so are there streetlights already on the street or not?
No, there are not. There are, I'm going to go back one to the existing photo. You will see that there are some exterior wall sconces.
Just the wall.
And that was another reason to elevate the lights up so it didn't compete.
Yeah, all right. And then the brick, you'll continue with brick on the sidewalk itself, I guess. These trees, what's going on with them? Are they, I mean, I'm not, nor are the guidelines really a big fan of street trees.
Those are existing trees.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to leave existing for now. We understand that that could be almost its own presentation, so we didn't want to confuse things too much.
I mean, some of them look pretty strange. They're angled out and all sorts of things, but yeah, but that's not part of this presentation, so all right. Well, I don't have any problems. The crosswalk or the raised portion is just going to be bituminous? Is that it as it goes across, or is that, that's brick also, right?
Yeah, we have bituminous leading up to the edge, but as a way to relate to the existing sidewalks, we wanted to have a granite curb as a kind of termination point of the bituminous, and then have a brick inlay at the top of it.
All right, so
and
that's
is there like a border on the brick too, to make it, like, it looks like maybe you've got a white border or?
Yeah, that white border is actually the granite curb, so that will help in terms of, you know,
right. And then the brick itself, though, that's got to be something other than those Boston City Hall pavers, though, because it's going to get a lot of heavy traffic on it and such. I'm wondering if you should go to something else, like a concrete paver or something.
I mean, that's the part where we could lean on our landscape architect.
Yeah, I think that's going to get cracked.
Or something different if you're worried about wearing it there.
Yeah, the brick that's on the sidewalk, those pavers are not going to, won't work for traffic, so.
Well, sorry, I'm just trying to remember with the ownership. The streets are totally private, so we plow and we maintain and sand and do everything else related to it. So we're not really that concerned about seeing all pavers. If we have to reset them on a regular basis, we'll do it. We do sort of like look. We thought about different pavers, but we thought the brick element, pulling everything together between overhead and the sides, and sort of making a real experience, and sort of the introduction of the four-point channel from Seaport was important. So, and we just, the city wants to open the street up, as do all the neighbors, you know, they want to get it going. We've agreed with the city to make it one way, from Congress to Seaport. But we do want to ensure that we start out with slowing the traffic and calming everything, because it's been a pedestrian street for so long. You know, we just don't want to have this fire hose turning on traffic.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand the need for the speed bump or whatever you call it, but it's just a warning, those pavers will crack, and you're going to be constantly fixing them, so.
So just to clarify, the final sort of plan here is to remove those Jersey barriers from the adjacent to the T-stop?
That is actually owned by the MTA, and that little section of the street at the very end in front of Shake Shack.
Yeah.
So it's the city has approached us months ago to essentially they want to take it out. They basically asked, you know, how we work together. We've been working with Jim Fitzgerald, the city, to sort of coordinate on that. With WS as well, to talk about, you know, what the signalization is all set up. It's all set up in one way to get comments to support. And we looked at the traffic studies and the LOS factors on the intersections, and we've all agreed this is the right way to go. And we're going to lift those out, you know, probably in October. I think we have to lift them out in October because we'll be fairly well tended at that point. We really have to have through traffic for, you know, deliveries and all sorts of things.
All right. Any other comments? Public comment on this application? Yeah.
Tom Reddy from the Neighborhood Association. I guess I was interested in the coordination that was taking place between this development and Jim Fitzgerald at BTD and the respect for, we're all in favor, by the way, of traffic calming and enhanced lighting and improvements along the sidewalk. So I just want to make sure that the proper coordination around opening it up, the timing of opening it up, and when the construction would be complete, along with the actual specification for the speed hump or whatever we're calling it, and making sure that it's aligned with city BTD guidelines, would be our comments.
I think it's a bit unusual. You know, if this were a public street, it may not happen. We've had a fair amount of experience looking at this thing work very, very well in Europe. You've actually put it in other property shop centers as a major. And the idea that you actually have to rise up at the level of pedestrians actually slows everybody down. It isn't a bump or a hump. It's a very gradual rise. It can be plowed quite easily. And it also actually acts as a handicap accessible ramp as well. So we have an opportunity for people to be able to sort of get across the street. And I'm just afraid that we will have a busy thoroughfare there, even though it's one way. So the good news is it'll be one way, and it won't be as hectic as a two-way traffic. But we do think that this will be a good way to sort of get everybody approaching it at the right rate
right.
of speed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's disputing the notion of the bump itself. So, but I think the construction section is really, I think, what we'd like to see. And I think if we approve here, I'll add as a proviso that you provide a construction setting, the setting method of the pavers and of the granite curb, all of that, so that.
We've actually introduced the granite curb, quite frankly, set in concrete, so it actually retains
yep.
the pavers,
yep.
so that we don't get that, you know, if the plow does hit it, we do get a little bit of movement, it's not going to knock them all out.
Right.
So it will be, it will sort of retain itself, and the asphalt will rise up to the granite.
Yeah, no, I've seen them, they're in Cambridge as well. So, all right.
I'm a little uncomfortable with the lighting. I think it's charming. They make me think of Japanese lanterns, kind of a festival feel, but is it a real departure?
Well, they do, I mean, two things. They do exist on Channel Center, the catenary lights going across.
Right.
I don't remember what
but
the...
But it's across a courtyard, not across a...
No, it's a street.
I'm going to show you.
With traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the
size,
I don't remember what the fixture is.
I got them right here.
And the hooded. Yeah. I mean, I was going to suggest that type of yes,
oh,
that
see.
Type
okay.
of fixture. But the fact that they're already over, we've got them in Trillium now. I thought maybe it would be okay to continue that style. But this is kind of what I would have envisioned, something that's, you know, more industrial looking.
Yeah, these don't, I think they're handsome, but they don't have that feel for me.
Well, and I just think that there are a lot of them. I don't know what kind of light output these are going, like, I think the Channel Center has just one in the center, right?
There's a couple, yeah.
There's two,
yeah,
I mean.
And they're symmetrical, so like it goes two.
Two down.
Yeah. Yeah, spaces.
So this one has two.
Oh yeah, there's the two, right.
It's perpendicular.
Yeah, I see.
That one has two.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that it would be, have you done a light study just to see how illuminated this is gonna be? I don't want it to be like blazing light. I mean, it should be kind of a nice feel to it. This is a lot here, wow, you got, let's see. This is a cross section from building to building. You've got one, two, three. Oh, I see. It's alternating.
Yeah.
So you got three,
around, yeah.
Three, two, three, two, three, two. Okay, I see. Well.
If you don't mind my interjecting just a moment, it's not as though we don't have experience with this. We have it in the courtyard, so we have a sense of what it's like. We don't want to light up the night sky either, but what we want to do is have this sort of overhead. And by the way, it can also be controlled by. Dim everything in the courtyard, so we can actually set the light level.
Yeah.
And we can certainly control that, so we don't get something that is, we can even look at the caliber of the lamping that we use within these fixtures. But they're kind of an industrial looking fixture. We spent a lot of time looking for this type of fixture, mm-hmm. sort of metal fixture, and then we've got some really great feedback on it in the courtyard. So we're not putting something in that. Haven't used, we haven't seen, and we haven't experienced what it's like. And it's just a nice glow in the evening. I don't know whether anyone's had a chance to get down there in the evening, but it's really pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen it at night, so. All right, so maybe that's a good suggestion that if they appear to be too intense, that they can be brought down a little bit in their brightness with some kind of an adjustment.
But your objection is the brightness?
No, it's the style. And I think they're handsome lights. I'm just not sure they just don't fit as well as the more traditional style. But I don't feel that strongly.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I know these catenary lights never existed in the district historically, so there's not a precedent to go by. And I just keep going to the fact that if they didn't exist here in the plaza, then I would say we could switch to something else. But I think it would be nice to have this all be kind of uniform.
Similar style to ones that are hanging.
Yes. It'd be exactly the same. Yeah. So
I understand the rationale.
Yeah. And then these, obviously, you go into the mortar joints with the bolting for the.
Yes. I've been paying attention to all the signage changes over the last year or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, any other comments from the public? No. All right. So, if somebody wants to form a motion with it, with whatever provisos.
I recommend we approval with.
Yeah, I would say just send this across the construction section of the speed bump, or what are you calling it?
Speed table.
Speed table. Like a cross section of how it's detailed.
Send it.
Send it to.
Oh, okay.
For
send it to staff. Okay.
Yeah. And then the lighting will be able to have some kind of means to adjust its intensity if it's felt that it's too bright. I think that would be the only other proviso. All right. Second?
Second.
All right. Commissioner Smilich?
Yes.
Karoff?
Yes.
Gorganian?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. So, okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Take these back if you want.
Please, please.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Next
question, real quick. So the guidelines do say street trees. Wow. They're not necessarily discouraged, but they are encouraged in appropriate areas.
In like clusters. The idea of marching down sidewalks is something we know.
So their original plan was to take out all the trees, and I encouraged them to keep them because, I mean, it's part of the plan to reduce water runoff and all these problems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's something that we should consider in the future.
Yeah.
See you, Nate. Bye.
I don't know if I should be listening to this or
not. You can listen if you want.
Well, it's on public record,
okay.
So.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I just think, just even looking at the picture, like the picture that he had of the street itself, you could see how much better it would look without the trees, because you would really see the facades of the building and you would get that much more industrial feel.
But I mean,
but then he's got to answer to the neighbors as to why he took the trees out too, and I don't think that's
But also, well, they're encouraging the shopping district. Don't you want to encourage street trees? Because it gets very bright on.
It's not about, you know, the traditional comfort level. It's about trying to keep the character of this industrial look. That was the whole point. So the guidelines were set up so that trees would be clustered in areas, maybe little pocket parks or however, you know, they need to be, rather than marching down the street. So. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, and they're not doing well. You know, they don't look good. So,
but they're okay. I mean, we could argue street trees forever because I'm so pro street tree.
Regardless. Oh, I am too, typically. But this district, we had to think long and hard about that.
Yeah, that's why you're going away, Nick.
Well, I mean, I'm implanting my beliefs into Mary, so she's on board. Sorry, guys. Next time.
All right. Next is application 19.1456, 27 to 43 Wormwood Street, regarding the its work at Wormwood Smokestack, including installing three new panel antennae, shifting the locations of the existing panel antennae to accommodate the new antennas. And installing portholes in the base of the smokestack and the antenna level to accommodate new interior cabling. This poor smokestack, you can hear it moaning now.
One more.
Good evening, my name is Edward Parry, P-A-R-E. I'm an attorney at Brown Ruddick, and I'm outside counsel to AT&T. So just a quick review. In 2017, December 2017, we came in to do a kind of a major renovation of the existing smokestack where the antenna is located. AT&T proposed and the commission approved us removing the catwalk, placing some structural bands both up near the top of the smokestack and where our antennas are mounted. Then we took all of the clutter that's existing on AT&T's installation and we placed it inside the smokestack. There's actually a kind of a metal tower structure inside the smokestack, so we're able to attach all of our equipment, all of the antenna equipment inside the smokestack. We got our final approval, I believe, in December of 2018. We're doing significant work with the mortar and the joints. We got approval of the color and the design for the mortar in 2018. By the time we pulled our building permit, we're ready to go. AT&T is looking to modify the design. So they'll undertake this in one huge swoop. What we're looking to do is to add one additional antenna similar to all the others. Similar to the other antennas, we'll paint it to match. It'll be attached to the bands that we had proposed and approved last time. And so that is the extent of what we're looking for this evening, is that one antenna add. Again, the equipment associated with the antenna will go on the inside of the smokestack attached to that tower structure that's inside. And we'll note there are some antennas below us. Those are not AT&T's antennas, but they were just below the catwalk. So when we remove the catwalk, these folks will have to deal with their situation also. So that's the extent of what we're looking for this evening. Add one antenna with equipment on the inside.
So what does the antenna actually look? Is it one of those boxes? The long rectangles?
It is.
All right. Yeah, okay.
So you see there, that's the proposed antenna there.
So it's going to look like the others. It's going to not stick out anymore.
Correct.
Not going to be any bigger.
And the catwalk
Catwalk will be gone. It's existing now, but you've already approved its removal.
So
that will be
able to. That picture has it, or has it?
This picture has
that
the catwalk,
has
so that's the clutter that's there now that I referenced.
Yeah.
So this is the existing look.
Right.
This was the approved look with the exception of that one.
So I think it's time for all the vendors to figure out a way to work together here. They are doing that in some historic districts. I just think this is not over the long term tenable situation. I'm sure it costs more and I'm sure it would be complicated, but I think it can be done and is being done in some places. And particularly, and now you've just mentioned that who's the other vendor here? Is it Verizon or?
It's Sprint.
Sprint. So there's obviously going to have to be some reconfiguration on their part anyways. So maybe it's time to like step back and figure out an overall solution for the smoke stack.
Well, we presented the overall solution during 2017 because the smoke stack is at a certain state of need structurally and improvements with the mortar and the joints. AT&T will be spending significant money to solidify, strengthen the smoke stack structurally.
Is Sprint contributing to that renovation effort at all?
They're done.
Wow.
Another reason to work together.
Yes. So the work hasn't yet begun.
The work under the original has not been done. We're here this evening to add three panel antennas to the work. The work will be undertaken, but we're looking to add the X-ray antenna this time.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you're free to, you can, if something's already been approved, you could go ahead and do what's already been approved, as you said you could, but I would really like to see a better solution for this.
I wish we had just Sprint guys in the room.
This is being done places in historic districts. This is being done that where vendors are working together to minimize the amount of equipment. So,
we have to work together because they're attached to just below us, but they're not here as part of our application. Certainly, we can't share the equipment. I think Mary and Nick can ask.
Well, that's the point. By working together,
their devices look different. Are they physically different?
They're generally the same. I mean, they may have fewer antennas. I can't speak for them. Let me see what it is.
And
is
some of their equipment inside the tower too?
They're going to have to deal with their equipment, whether it be inside. The structure's available on the inside, so there's room on the inside if they decide to relocate some of their equipment. The antennas do have to remain on the outside. We can't penetrate bricks.
Do they have things on the outside now that could go on the inside?
It looks like they have antennas. I'm not sure what their equipment is on.
Basically, everything that's not attached to those steel bands is not you. Is not AT&T.
That's correct.
So all that other clutter below the two steel bands is the proper point. We
could
see it disappear, but we can't.
This is going to keep getting worse until it doesn't. And I think I don't believe there is not a solution. I just don't believe it. I'm sorry.
I'd love to. I'm not sure what you mean. I'd love to offer a solution. I don't know what you mean.
I don't believe there's not a solution where vendors can figure out a comprehensive plan for a structure that will, in some ways, minimize the total amount of clutter that is visible to the public.
Well, I mean, it's never going to stop until, because you've got individual vendors that don't share equipment and can't share equipment.
We cannot share equipment.
No, but they can share in how it is installed on a structure. And that is happening in some places. I did a fair amount of research on this since I got this agenda. So I think there's a possibility of at least improving the way that this looks. And I think this is a really important structure in this district. And I think we should be advocating for it more than we are. I'm done. Sorry.
You know, I wish I could say we could put Sprint's antennas in between us, but those are interference issues, and that's why you see separation both between antennas and at different elevations. So even when you look at a cell tower, you'll see one carrier's here, another carrier's 10 feet below.
And then I think of the day when, and it will happen, and then technology improves to the extent that, you know, you don't need these bulky, obtrusive things sticking out. And then, you know, I'm not sure that's not here now. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think any of us have the expertise to know the answer to that question.
No, and it's the technology is going to continue to change. And the only thing I would say is, as a coordination issue, would be that for somebody to devise a universal aperture for the things to, for each individual company to hang their things on. And who pays for that aperture, I don't know. You know, you guys have already paid for the two bands and therefore won't, I'm sure, let anybody else use them.
Well, if we could, I mean, we can co-locate if we can and use our bands if there were not interference, but
I mean, that's we have a significant simplification of everything that AT&T owns.
That's correct.
On that small side.
That's correct.
So, which has been improved, obviously. So that part of it has been, I think, nailed. It's just we don't have to get, you know, it's spread the room. And they have no application to change anything that they're doing.
Correct. Now that may occur. You may see something from them soon, and then that's where it
as their tech has to be updated. Correct.
But I think the point is this has to happen together. If it's always consecutive, then you're never going to get to that point.
And the onus has been on the carriers. Not the carriers don't own that tower. That's owned by an entity.
Correct. We're a tenant.
You're a tenant.
Correct.
As are all the others. So it feels like that's probably that can be required
by the owner of the tower.
This is the only place where that's going to stop. It's right here. This is the only place.
The owner is the one who's going to.
But I mean, this is the only mechanism.
Lease agreements.
This is the only mechanism that I'm aware of.
Right. So what? I mean, my guess. I'm trying to. You know, we have an application in front of us. We have to make a motion and a vote. So what? I mean. Short of saying no, you can't do this.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
And then what?
And then do some more work to see if there's a better solution. And I'm not, maybe there isn't, but I'm just not, given what seems to be happening in some other areas, I'm not convinced that there is no solution.
Okay. I see it more as a citywide initiative that could be applied to all the districts.
Well, that would be great.
And maybe that's where it should come.
So are you not needing to remove anything? You're not removing anything, you're just adding now. And why are you adding?
Well, so we have not completed the work that was already approved. So by the time we got everything approved and finalized, we had another equipment upgrade for another antenna. So we're here to do everything at once. If not, we would upgrade.
Well, when you say upgrade, is it going to make it more powerful, or is it because you have more people using the...
Yeah, there's more need in the new technology. So. If you have higher speeds, you need the additional antenna, so we're going from 9 antenna to 12.
5G.
We're modifying. Well, it'll
it's
be part of the framework.
The installation.
Yeah, 5G is a little bit of a...
Right.
So you'll see some of the small cell solutions that are being done. I think that you've seen in all of the districts where they're doing using light poles, getting things closer, faster. This is considered a macro site, so it's providing a footprint coverage. I guess my question is, what can we do to satisfy the concern? You know, I can't speak for Sprint. I can't put Sprint's antennas next to ours. I can't reduce Sprint's existing equipment load. AT&T has reduced its load significantly. Mm.
Yeah,
and now we're upgrading by adding one more panel antenna.
Moving the catwalk.
I think it's a huge
jump.
Big
jump.
Well, and the bands at the top where. Structurally, the smokestack has issues.
And I'm only one person. I'm just saying I think that it is not required of us to say yes simply because we do not know what the other solution is. But I also understand that you can't solve it here tonight. That's all. I feel that we at some point we need to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe the next, maybe the time.
To solve the problem because
right.
If they really had to, they would.
And I think maybe the time to do that would be if, say, Sprint comes before us and says they have to do something that's going to require a lot more intrusiveness. I don't know what that's going to be.
Then they'll say, but AT&T isn't here tonight, so.
But I mean, that's when a denial could I think, occur, is when something is going to happen that's going to make it much more intrusive. This is really not a big deal in terms of you're adding one more of these things, but you're also going to get rid of that whole catwalk. which is reducing the clutter. So I hear what you're saying, and I don't know when and how, when it's appropriate to say no, and how, what that results in. You know, no, say, let me just play devil's advocate, say the vote was no, what would happen then?
You know, it's a good question. I'd have to go back to the client. My guess is that they would either not bother installing the antenna, they may undertake the work. It's a significant investment, it's six figures. So those become business decisions for them. If they can't upgrade, maybe they don't do the improvements. I don't say that as a threat.
No,
it's a big budget. It's a big budget item for a relatively
Well, I guess one of the things that we talked about last time was why is everything strangling this smokestack? Isn't there any other way of getting this coverage by some other means on a building that's more or less obtrusive, or a pole somewhere else? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no poles are out, okay, I can tell you that. It's been there since 93. I think we're finally making the best upgrades in a long time to the smokestack. I know there's been a lot of consternation about it. I also think that, take a look at the top, it has nothing to do with us. So that's not going anywhere.
You're not anywhere on the top at all?
Nothing on the top. So the only thing that we did structurally was to add those bands that were approved previously so that the structure could accommodate what's there. But that's nothing of that.
So everything at the top is spring?
No. No, I don't have that.
Or your other companies.
So this is AT&T going in this level. So as I mentioned, you know, we all have separation. So this is AT&T. Just below us is Sprint.
And then at the top?
That's not a carrier. That's various antennas. Again, when you have a tall structure,
yeah.
Back in the day, that's where you go because you need, you know.
So some of them could be defunct and not even serving a purpose, maybe?
Could be public safety.
So they're not having to do with telecommunications then, or what is it?
Well, there's some kind of telecommunications because I see antennas. What the purpose is, I don't know.
So
they're
it's
not
old.
AT&T. They're not AT&T. What's that?
So it sounds like it's old.
That I frankly have no idea.
Well, we would have.
It's another catwalk at the top. But,
yeah. All right.
Exactly. I have no idea.
It sounds like you got AT&T is though. Getting public service by, you know, embarking on this renovation of the structure itself.
It's an expensive.
Yeah,
upgrade, for sure.
The alternative is to see the thing gradually crumble and, you know, eventually have to dismantle it. Make it pretty important stuff.
All right. So know that, I guess, the message is that the commission is getting kind of upset at all this stuff, so it's going to be harder the next time you want to come in, I guess. And then likewise, if Sprint comes before us wanting to do something, you know, we're going to scrutinize it a lot more seriously, a lot more in detail.
I'll deliver the message.
There has to be a turning point now where we're going in the opposite direction. Instead of having more stuff, we want to see less. And I think this catwalk being gone in the middle is a big step in that direction.
Yeah, that's really true.
So, and then these things, I guess you're going to paint them out, or so, is that what you typically do?
Yeah, we paint them red to batch the brick behind.
The deeper kind of clay color, yeah, clay red. Right. And then what is there's some hatchway opening or something I see here, what's the?
Yeah, down at the base, what exists now is there's a cable tray that goes all the way up to the antennas, is on the exterior of the smokestack, and when we, brought this previously to Nick and the commission, the idea was let's get rid of as much as we can, get it inside. So
okay.
Our equipment's in the, I don't know if it's really a basement of the building nearby, but it's at a lower level. The cables come out, there'll be a small, we're gonna take the cable tray down to the top, the bottom 10 feet will stay so that we can enter into the smokestack. Then all of the cable tray that actually goes up to those antennas right now on the outside of the building will, cables are all run on the inside, and all that equipment. And we have things called remote radio heads, we have surge protectors, all of that stuff will be on the interior.
All right.
Now, it won't be visible.
Yeah. All right. Public comment on this application? All right. So, would anyone like to form a motion on this application?
The application approved as presented.
I'll second.
Okay. Commissioner Karoff.
Yes.
Smilich.
Yes.
Berganian.
No.
Arodi.
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. So you got one dissenting vote.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Nick.
See you soon.
Next is application 20.069. It's 346 Congress Street regarding work at the front elevation, including installing a banner sign and associated flagpoles, a blade sign, and sign at the front sign banner, storefront sign banner. This is applicant is Imaging Industries.
Good evening, thank you very much. I'm Dennis Pulte, I'm an attorney for Santander Bank. With us, Annette Hicks from Santander, and Tom Gianni, the sign designer for Image One. And the first thing I want to do is to thank the staff, Mr. Armato, for meeting with us on an administrative basis to just go over everything, give us some good ideas. And very importantly, I would like to suggest that the main sign band that was being proposed, we are not asking for tonight. We've had some issues with the ownership of the building that have led us to take that off the list. And so what we'd be doing is looking for the vertical sign and the blade sign, which are replications of what existed for the previous tenant. So the main band across the front, which was proposed, is not being requested.
Okay. All right. So that's it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was quick. So you said these existed, so you're going to use the same brackets and then put a new banner in?
Yes. Currently the banner here is actually over here, and ownership approved to relocate it.
All right.
We're going to use the same height.
Yeah.
And similar bracket. We're not going to deviate from the original design of the bracket, and Tom is going to be able to limit that.
All right.
So with the height of the banner, the blade is actually going to go into the same location as well. Each of the features are the same exact height as the existing.
Okay. And then
is there your name for the record?
Annette Hicks.
And where the banner was, you're taking the banner off, and then leaving the support pieces on as well, or are you taking those off?
We're going to take those off. The owner asked for those back.
Oh, so you're going to take them off?
And do a little patching.
Okay, you'll do patchwork. That's my question.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, and is the banner canvas or a vinyl or what?
It's a flexible material, flexible vinyl material.
Right.
It'll be sewn in pockets and slip over the bracket.
And not lit at all, nor is the...
The blade is. The existing blade is also.
Is also, all right. So what's the means of lighting?
The means of lighting is
inside.
LED lighting internally to the flag sign.
All right.
However, it's an aluminum face, so the whole face of the sign does not light up except the flame.
The flame, I see.
That lights up, and also halos around the sign.
I see. All right. Well, I mean, that's the fact that it's all the same. You know, you're not changing the dimensions in any way. I think is a positive thing. So it's just those two pieces. Commissioners, do you have any comments or?
Sorry, so the blade sign
is illuminated from inside?
Yes.
So, what is the... There's a whip that comes in from a junction box on the interior.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's already, the one that's there now
it's
is...
already there,
yeah. So you're not adding any of that.
No.
Where is the sort of, as the blade goes out, what is the thickness of the sign? I don't see that as a dimension.
The width of the blade. It's 2 feet by 6 inches.
So the thickness.
Thickness. Yeah, the depth isn't there. It's not that.
No.
Well, will it be, do you know if it's going to be any different from the thickness of what exists, what's there now?
When we met with Nick previously, Nick said to repeat what's there.
Okay.
The height has to be the same, the thickness has to be the same.
Okay.
The brackets has to be the same.
All right.
So we met with Nick about a month ago.
All right. So Nick said it, that it's...
It's 5 inches thick.
Thank you.
5 inches, all right, that's too bad. All right.
Do you want to finish?
Honestly,
the existing one is for the
cost. The scale of that building, 5 inches.
Yes,
5 inches is not the big a deal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
do you want to finish?
No, wait, I don't care.
I thought that was fine. Yeah, no,
I had some problems with the internal illumination.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I had.
But we don't do halo, don't we? But the one that's existing is that way, right? So just explain again the lighting on this. What is the halo piece of it? You said something is reflective.
They're just the flame. The flame is the only thing that's lit.
It's from the back.
The LEDs are inside the sign box. The box, the face of the box itself is opaque.
Yeah.
They have aluminum. So the light that's on the inside of the box shines through the flame, the plastic flame.
It
lights it up, face lit. And it also, because the flame pushes out of the face.
Oh, it does. It's proud of the face. So then it lights a little bit beyond you. Okay.
No, that's not so bad. On the face of the side.
All right. All right. That's not the end. It's not, I was thinking it was just going to be like this plastic, you know, covering over it. And it was just going to light come through that way. But all right. I don't have any further comments on it. And since there's not going to be any additional drilling into the building, it's all... using what's there. Would anybody like to make a motion on this? Oh, first of all, is there a public comment? There's only one person there, so no comment. All right.
The only thing I would ask is, you mentioned other signage. Is the intent to come back at a later date for other signage?
No.
Or is the intent that these two elements will be the only public facing?
Those two are the only two elements that we have, but I believe if you look on page 9, you'll see that the Santander, slide 9 rather, is the slide 9, the...
There's some interior, interior...
I want you to take a look.
Yes, there it is.
So on slide,
thank you so much,
slide 7, you'll see the typical surround that Santander uses at the ATM vestibule. So the top of the surround, the whole, it's backlit. So we do have illumination there. So beside the flag and the blade, we do have that interior to the space, which is the ATM.
Behind, that's behind
so
a set of doors.
So there's not any change to the structure of the building. It's just this is already here. This
yes,
that's the field.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's a la your neighbor citizens downstairs.
Yes.
Back behind the doors.
Well, ours is you go through the door and it's.
Right.
It's
to
right.
The left.
Yes, it is. It's to the left of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other comments?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Guys, the store as it exists today, is there a temporary sign on the windows?
You had asked us to take down any branding. Prior to coming in. So we do have white vinyls up in one section, and then we have coming soon in a couple of them.
I mean, technically that needs an application because it's vinyl, but I mean, I...
Is that going to come down before the signage goes up?
That's actually coming down. Vinyl plate is tomorrow. So vinyl plate is, they're coming down tomorrow.
Oh, okay,
and
then
the
we're good.
And the signage is going up next Friday, and we open the following Monday.
Okay.
Well,
nothing like coming to the last minute,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we sent you a letter just to notify you that. You
yes.
can just disregard that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Sorry about that.
That's no worries.
All right, would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll move to approve as submitted.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Corganian?
Yes.
Smilage?
Yes.
Caro?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
And Chair votes yes. All right.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Take care.
that it?
Oh, with minutes.
We need a vote on the, or motion and a vote on the ratification of the 7/11/2019 minutes. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
All right, second?
I'll second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Okay.
So, now what? We done?
Yeah, if you guys have
any...
Yes.
What?
Introductions.
Well, Tom, if you weren't late, you would know that this is our new planner, Mary. Mary, we just want to give everybody a background as far as where you came from.
Sure. Most recently, I came from the Adirondacks, where I was working for a small historic preservation organization. But I am from Staten Island, originally born and raised. So prior to my stint up north, I worked for the New York City Landmarks Preservation Commission. And then before that, I was at the Massachusetts Historical Commission. So I've done this before, and it's great to be back in city government, and happy to be thrilled to be back in Boston.
Yeah, great.
So now, what did you do at... I'm sorry?
Schwartz.
She and I, we did not overlap. Okay. I've heard of her, but
she did not. A lot of work in Mexico, and so I don't know.
Well, we all kind of we split the burden between the five boroughs, so we were all doing stuff everywhere.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a different setup. It was, you know, just we did what we had to do.
And what did you do at NHC?
I actually worked at in the grants department during the
MBF.
Yep. I worked there straight out of graduate school. I went to BU for preservation. So
okay.
I've been here for a couple years and then went away and now back.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So is this Nicholas's last appearance?
Probably not. I don't know. Mary, she pretty much knows everything because she's so smart, but we'll see. If she needs help, I'm happy to show up.
So Mary, what other districts will you be?
I'm doing South End, this one, and Mission Hill.
We're the best.
Yes.
So I had my first South End hearing on Tuesday, so that was great.
Good. All right, well, we'll look forward to working with you, and we also should thank Nicholas for all of his efforts.
For putting up with us.
What he did, and all his prep work and his time, and making these meetings and these hearings go smoothly.
Cool.
And we'll miss his wit and charm.
And,
wow.
his hair.
His hair. All right, let's adjourn this.
I have one question, though. Any action on the vacancy?
Yes. Ish.
Yes.
Well, so we sent all of the recommendations down to the mayor's office, and he currently has them. We don't know what they're doing right now.
How many candidates are there?
Well, there's one right there.
Ah.
That guy.
Excellent.
So we sent, and then Christy, she's an architect. There's a couple. So I haven't looked at the list in like a month, but we'll see.
This can take a lot longer than you think.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I asked for his patience. Yeah. So as soon as the mayor acts, but they had said they had no problem with Four Point. They did have some problems with some other districts. So we will address that when we address it. So yeah.
That's great news.
Great. All right.
All right.
So if that's it, we'll motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None.